Live Well, Win Well is on point with Wanda Lestote. It's a Financial Thursday. We want to welcome the CEO of Capital Analytics, Abby Malone. Want to say good morning and welcome to 1380 WAOK. How are you?
Good morning, Wanda. I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
We're so glad to have you here and sharing with us today on this Financial Thursday. I want you to just talk to us about your company and what you all do with Capital Analytics.
Yeah, sure. So we are a media platform, and we produce economic intelligence on different metro areas in the United States. We have our annual publication that is approximately 200 pages long, where over the course of about 6 to 8 months, we meet over 200 CEOs to put together the report, what would be the current economic climate, where are the opportunities, where are the challenges, and we pair that with our own analysis. Then we have our digital content. We have our Invest Insights platform, where we've been interviewing CEOs from the different markets that we cover on right now, currently, how they're adapting to this new COVID-19 reality. And then we also have our event series, which is now taking a new turn, obviously, as COVID-19 affects the way that we meet and gather. So basically, you know, the purpose of all that we do is to inform the local, national, and international investor, entrepreneur, and business person about what are the economic opportunities in market, where are the challenges, how they can open up a business, and who are the people who are leading the way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want you to really share and shed light on how would you define the economic climate today?
Wow. That's something we have never seen before. How am I supposed to put that simply? Yeah, it's wild because, you know, have we seen recessions before? Sure. Have we seen job loss before? Sure. But not quite like this, right? And it's not, it was because we were told to shut down. We cannot gather. We cannot go to work. And the government had to stop non-essential business from functioning. And so it's unlike something that we've ever seen before. So not only have we been mandated to not work like we have normally done so, and job loss has occurred because of that, people are fearful of their health, and rightfully so. We still do not have a vaccine for this, for the coronavirus. And so people are protective of what is most important to them, their own health. And so we find ourselves in this place that we've never really found ourselves before. You know, maybe we can talk about this later, but, you know, are we equipped? Did we handle this in the right way? Did we know beforehand and didn't put the correct measures in place to help safeguard our economy? You know, that's still unfolding.
Yeah. You know, what is going on? What is going on in the minds of the C-level owners, entrepreneurs from an economic perspective and from a business perspective? What is going on in that mind?
Wow. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of feedback. And I think overall, there is a level of optimism and hope, which is ultimately so important. That's going to get us to the other side of this. But they're worried. If you're a small business, like a restaurant or a retail location, you have to shut your doors, and those margins are already razor thin as they are. Now you're not seeing, you know, customers come through and buy products like they used to. Coupled with the fact that people did lose their jobs, you know, businesses had to hunker down and furlough their employees, not because they wanted to, but because they knew that they needed to get through to the other side. And so a whole portion of the population now does not have the income that they used to spend on these, everything from the hair salon and nail salon to retail outlets and the like. So they're having to make a choice of what to pay for. Do they pay for something they have to, like rent or mortgage, or something that they would like to? And so that's on people's minds. Who are their customers, and how will they adapt to the COVID reality, and how they then need to change their business model to the consumers and their new behaviors. So yeah, there's optimism that people are implementing new technologies, that they are adapting their businesses in unique ways that will help them be more successful on the outside. But still a lot of worry, you know, how to get people back into the workplace. Can they continue to work remotely? Does that work for their business model? Also, you know, that stimulus package and how to best use the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP and the CARES Act. How helpful is it really? Did the businesses get their hands on a portion of that stimulus package? It's still a little bit up in the air about how that will be impacting the longevity of the majority of the businesses in America.
And is it safe to assume that C-level executives and or business owners are familiar with making some adaptations to the economy and to their businesses, or are they having to kind of revamp and re-strategize?
I think that's what we're going to see. You know, some are absolutely able to do that. I've talked to a number of people in the real estate space that, you know, that's a high touch process to purchase new real estate, to move into a new place. You want to see it, you want to enter it. You can't now in many places, and for the time being, there will be some kind of limitations. So they've had to adapt to virtual tours and show the clients how the real estate looks in a virtual experience. And some have been able to navigate that really easily, and some haven't. I've talked to a number of educators who have, in a week over spring break, had to completely change all of their curriculum to the online environment. And some educators and institutions already had a portion of their classes online and were just and were able to use that platform and expand it to the rest of the classes. And others didn't have a strong reliance on online education and had a much more difficult time doing that. So, yes, it's proven to be something that some businesses can be quick and nimble, and others that can't. I mean, you know, look at the restaurant industry. They've lost nearly half their business across the United States.
Yes.
Because some of the restaurants just can't go online to deliveries. So, I think we're seeing a whole combination.
Right, exactly. And it is scary and frightening for a lot of businesses. I want to ask you about, and those of you who are listening, feel free to call in 404-892-2703. We're speaking with Abby Malone with Capital Analytics, and we're talking about businesses and companies and C-level executives who are trying to thrive and survive in the midst of this pandemic. And what are some of the things that individuals can do? What are some of the things that business owners need to think about or reconsider as you're trying to really get beyond with where you are? When we come back, Abby, I want to ask you, what do you define this economic climate that we're in right now? Would you define it as being one of an interruption to businesses or a disruption? I want to talk to you about that. Is it an interruption or a disruption to businesses? And depending on how you look at it, then, of course, that defines how a person responds. So stick around. More to come with Abby Malone right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Got a one-room apartment, to a little tiny space. It's a financial Thursday. All of your financial questions right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, sharing with the CEO of Capital Analytics, Ms. Abby Malone, sharing with us today. I'd asked you right before the break, with many businesses and many corporations and entrepreneurs, would they consider what has happened with this pandemic and its effect on the economy? Would they consider this to be a disruption or an interruption? And if so, why?
So I love this question, and I think that we will see two things unfold. We will see companies that look at this as an interruption, and when I think of interruption, I think of like the start-stop button, right? We just put it on pause, and we'll go back to business as normal afterwards. And maybe that will be okay to get a certain portion of businesses back up and running. But where I really get excited is looking at this as a disruption. Because when I think of disruption, I think of innovation. When I think of innovation, I think of the future. And so, I think about the most recent wave of disruptors. We think of WeWork, Airbnb, Uber. We will never travel or stay the same, right? And that doesn't mean that hotels don't exist and other normal ways to commute and travel don't exist. They're still there, but it provided a new opportunity for jobs, for travel, to get from point A to point B, convenience. And so companies really have a time to look at this and look at as the next great disruptor. How can my company innovate? How can my company offer something new and different? So I've been talking to a lot of talking to a lot of healthcare providers recently, and hospitals have been hit really, really hard because they weren't able to do elective procedures, and many people were deterred from going to hospitals out of fear for their health, so they were putting off much-needed procedures or just being seen by a doctor because they didn't want to go to the hospital. So telemedicine has been in the background, but now it has a real big arena to step in and offer at-home care to a large swath of the population that would have never even considered telemedicine before. So those insurance companies and healthcare providers and doctors that can adapt quickly to telemedicine can service a much larger population, and we don't have to physically be in a hospital. While entrepreneurialism will always play an important part of diversifying an economy and getting us out of recession, so we need to really support entrepreneurs and their ingenuity, their ability to be nimble and look at different solutions for the problems that we're facing. But large corporations can have that mentality too. And they can bring in new innovations to a big corporate structure that will allow them to be successful. So I would prefer to implore everyone to look at this as a moment of disruption and not interruption.
That's great, because I was looking at two different markets. So let's say the Big Apple and the Little Apple. Let's say New York, let's say Atlanta. How can these markets, who are so different, even when it comes to the numbers of deaths and infections of the coronavirus, how can markets like that recover and resurge redevelop and grow?
Well, both cities have always had a great spirit of innovation. So I think that those that will come again to the foreground. Atlanta, being less densely populated than New York, will probably be able to get out of this much easier. And also, we've seen a far less amount of cases and deaths due to coronavirus in Atlanta. So people will be feeling safer, quicker to get back to quote unquote normal life. Meanwhile, New York has been the heaviest hit in the United States. So we've seen an increase of people leaving the city at the onset of the coronavirus. Maybe they'll never come back. Maybe those that were looking to move to the city will be deterred because they don't want to be in a densely populated place. Mm-hmm. But those companies now, if they're looking at the virtual world, they can hire from anywhere. So the city must recoup first and foremost in a safe manner. People must have their health concerns at the foreground. We need to have that period of reopening in cities much slower than in suburban areas. And once we get past that, maybe we're looking at these cities not as a geographic area anymore, but maybe the company is located there, but it's hiring everywhere because we're able to use the virtual world in a new, unique way. But I think it's important for the leaders to really have honest conversations with their business community and their constituents. And I know that Keisha Lance Bottoms has been amazing at her outreach. And I've also spoken to Eloisa Clementich from the Invest Atlanta. And their connection with the business community, and their ears are open, and they're addressing the main concerns. And that's exactly what you need right now. Because without that partnership, you're not going to be able to get back up and running and, be the Big Apple, Little Apple, as we once knew.
Yeah, yeah. Partnerships, collaborations are very key. When we come back, we're going to ask Abby, what and where are the best opportunities for businesses, for entrepreneurs? How can we get this ball stirred up? And also, we're going to ask her about employees. You know, how can they build? And how can people who've been laid off, how can they bounce back? Let's talk about it. More to come. It's the Financial Thursday. Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's a Financial Thursday. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, sharing with the CEO of Capital Analytics, Abby Malone, sharing with us today. What and where are the best opportunities now for businesses, for people? Where? What?
So yes. The $1 million question, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, well, you know, because each business has its own unique strategy and unique needs. But I think of an overall vision for the economy in general, businesses need to adapt much more online and meet their consumers where they feel safe right now. So if you don't have a high-functioning website, get a high-functioning website. If you're not advertising, go advertise. Be unique about the types of placements where you are visible. Work on e-blast campaigns and newsletters, pertinent information that would benefit your clients and consumers. Speak to them. Let them know you care. So that's very, very important. We find that our platform, we've seen more viewership, more readership, more subscriptions to the reports that we do, because people also need to be informed. Businesses need to be informed. While I think the national media is all well and good, it really muddies the water on a local level. And so get yourself inundated with useful information on a local level from those people who are doing well, who are innovating, that you can model after, that you can look at for inspiration. Because this is a time that we need to rebound, rebuild, reimagine. So the more you're informed, the more that you are communicating with your consumers, the more spring in your step that you will have when you're looking at rebounding, rebuilding, and reimagining.
That's great. Now, I want to ask you also about how do people who've gotten laid off, how can they bounce back during this COVID-19 era?
Yeah, that's been a discussion of ours, and we've been studying it closely because, again, like we talked at the top of the show, this is such a different recession we are in. Mm-hmm. Before you lose your job, go be a bartender. Pick up some shifts at a restaurant to tide you over in the meantime. You can't do that right now. And so we're seeing the reopening process, and maybe there will be some opportunities to get that part-time job just to tide you through. But I think first and foremost is there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear in the air. And the most important is to stay calm and stay collected, because that's not going to help you plan financially. That's not going to help you plan for a new job. It's hard. Meditation is wonderful, though. And, get yourself in a place where you can organize your thoughts and plan for a budget. The next thing I would recommend is to look at your current finances. Do you have money that is saved that you can go into your savings and maintain for a bit? What are your most important bills that you have to pay each and every month, like your rent or your mortgage, obviously food? Budget for those first and put off the other payments that you can tackle later. Also, landlords and the financing for mortgages, they're having conversations, and you can pay maybe a lower rent or postpone mortgage payments. So have that conversation to help you in the meantime. But then you should not be making emotionally based decisions. You can see how the stock market has been reacting over the past couple months, and that is all based upon the emotions of what are happening with COVID-19. So mm-hmm. be strategic about your financial decisions and get professional advice. If you can speak to a financial advisor to not only handle the current moment but plan for the future, sound professional advice is very important right now. And then, you know, like I was saying before with the rebounding, rebuilding, reimagining, maybe you need to reimagine your career. Maybe what you were doing won't be on the other side of COVID, or you won't want to be on the other side of COVID. Maybe you were doing something that was very customer facing that you don't feel comfortable doing anymore. So maybe it's time to go back to studies, get another certification. All the educators right now, they're all offering online classes galore. So we kind of have your pick of the litter if you want to re-educate yourself. It's the perfect time to do that. And we will start to see jobs opening back up. You know, it's happening with the PPP. We're seeing that, you know, employers are hiring. And so be open-minded. It might not be the job of your dreams, but it will be something new to try. And when the economy's back up and running, you'll be in a different place to look for employment that might fit you best.
That's right. And a lot of the trainings and certifications, there are many that are free that a lot of companies are offering right now.
Your local Chamber of Commerce, a lot of them are offering certifications or partnering with certain different certification programs and training programs. So, yes, there's plenty.
That's great. I want to ask you also about recently Best Buy's earnings failed in the first quarter after initial sales surge during the pandemic. So you see a company here that, you know, now it's falling, but it was really profiting at the beginning, as opposed to Walmart and other companies who have been thriving during this pandemic. I want you just to address that, the dynamics of the two different models in terms of their growth or their downfall.
So I think about the products that they offer and what happened over the past couple of months. From almost Friday to Monday, companies closed and everyone had to go virtual. And what does Best Buy sell? A lot of electronics and supplies that would help you work from home. So companies and employees needed to get the supplies that they needed right away, which would benefit Best Buy. But now a lot of people have that. You know, they might not need it in such a volume that we saw at the beginning of this transition. You know, I think about our business model. We had always local representatives and our editorial staff based in Miami. Well, now we can be based anywhere. So we always had the Zoom platform and GoToMeeting as a part of what we do. But now it's completely turned over because the world had to learn what virtual meetings were. So we had to get prepared for that moment, had that quick tutorial to operate from a home office. But other stores like Walmart and the products that they are selling, they are needed. You know, people need those products and they need them now. They need them in a month. They needed them before. So they will see, and they're also lower cost. So maybe people who wouldn't have shopped those before that just recently lost their job, they're going to Walmart now. So they provide products that people need at a reasonable rate, a cost, and those that either have been frequenting them before or weren't are now their shoppers.
That's great. Jacob of Orlando, Florida has a question for you, Abby. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. You were talking a bit about the importance of companies, especially small companies, putting, you know, their image out there, getting their messaging out there. But I'm getting a lot of, you know, different reaching out from different medias with special offers trying to, you know, get my business, but I have more limited resources now. How can I make smart decisions about where to put my marketing dollars?
Yeah, that's a good question because I think that those businesses that want to show strength and that they are there for their clients before the crisis, during the crisis, and after the crisis, it's essential that you find the ability to demonstrate that. And marketing and advertisement is a essential part of that picture. So you need to really look at who your clients are, who are the people that you want to send the message, and pick the right outlet for that. We've seen an uptick in our advertisement because they know that our readers are those that are investors, they're educated business people, they're doing business, they're opening up businesses. They want to show strength to our audience, show that they are there, open for business. They're not going away. And so, yes, I think it's an essential part of any business's outreach at this moment in time. And it's hard to navigate that, right, because you're having to cut costs. And it is uncertain when certain bills will be paid, if people will pay their bills, and, you know, where are those dollars coming from? So businesses should financially plan for, obviously, their employees and their hard costs, but then also maintain their image, because that's what's going to get them on the other side of this. People knowing that they have a company that they can trust in, not just now, but always.
404-892-2703 is the number to call. Ask your questions today. Abby Malone, CEO of Capital Analytics. More to come right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's a Financial Thursday right here, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Feel free to call in and ask our financial expert, Abby Malone, who is CEO of Capital Analytics. 404-892-2703 is the number to call. She can address anything dealing with finances as it relates to government budgets, corporation budgets, businesses, entrepreneurial activity, distance learning, education, healthcare industry, real estate. She's an expert in all of those areas. Chris from North Carolina is on the line, has a question for you. Go right ahead, Chris.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to On Point. We're here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I have a plethora of questions. And my first question is, would any of you want to live with an unstable husband? You would say, no. Well, we have an unstable economy. And I would like her to address things like, well, the dot-com bust. Then we had the housing bust. Now we have the pandemic. All these booms and busts that America go through. I'm in my 60s. And I think people are making too less money. And when she says, well, you know, you may have to get a part-time job. Gasoline is high. Rent is high. You can't, education, my missus was going to one of the major universities to get a doctor degree. The doctor degree was $90,000. Well, when the student loan money ran out, you have to have your dissertation written. Every time the dissertation is not finished, you got to cough up $2,600. Well, after you're in school, after a year, you have to go to retreat. They don't tell you that. What retreat? You have to pay out your own expenses, fly to another city, stay with your cohorts in a hotel, pay all those expenses out your pocket, get your doctor degree. Now you're looking at about $120,000 to pay back over a period of years. And now, since this pandemic has hit, now people are going online classes. Why should online classes cost just as much as going into a brick-mortar building? It should be practically nothing. It don't take quite much money to post the stuff online and to take the classes. So this economy we live on is crazy when you look at companies in this country getting money from the Fed, practically 0%. They were already in debt. You give them more money. We owe China $1.2 trillion. We give them $30 billion a year in interest. Our national debt is so high that the interest on the national debt has outpaced what we owe. This whole economy is unstable. Who would want to live with that?
All right. Thank you, Chris. What do you say, Abby? What's your response?
Yeah, he makes a lot of good points. Thanks, Chris, for the question. So first and foremost is if we want change, we need to go to the ballot box. That is where we're going to see change actually happen. And so we are in election year. We need to figure out how we're voting because it's still undetermined about what would in-person protocols and everything like that. But people need to vote. We have low voter turnout all the time. And people want to see change be made. They need to elect people who will make that change because there is corporate greed and there are corporations that receive the PPP loan that probably shouldn't have. And a lot of them did give it back. But yes, there's far too much student debt. Even though companies are paying to give gas away, the gas prices here in South Florida are incredibly high. So cost of living is increasing. Pay is staying stable. And you do see states changing the minimum wage and okay, that's a step. But yeah, what is the biggest solution? I wish I had a crystal ball that could address all of the issues that all the American public is facing while keeping this a capitalist society that we live in. So it's a very tricky question with a lot of nuance in its answers, but I think voting and being a part of our electorate is essential. He mentioned an interesting point about the online classes and how expensive they are. There are some higher education institutions that have decided to decrease their cost of tuition because they're online now. Newman University up in the Philadelphia area is one of them. They decreased the cost of their usual tuition and even reimbursed students during this fall spring semester to be more on par with online classes. So there are some institutions that are taking that very seriously. I also think that we need to see much more emphasis on vocational education. Still, America looks down at vocational education, that you have to be a doctor, like you just said, and go through all these years of schooling and rack up all of this debt. These are jobs that we need. So it's a worthy endeavor to have this education, and yet we don't put enough emphasis on it. Jerome Powell just came out, the chair of the Fed, with his statement just last week. And, you know, he said, while we are affected, the burden has fallen heavily on those that are least able to bear it. 40% of those making $40,000 a year in February lost a job in March. So the most vulnerable, who are making the least amount, are losing their jobs at a much higher rate. And that is going to add to how bad this gets. And we need to address it properly to get us out of here. And again, what I would just tie it back to is it's an election year. Let's vote.
That's good. Chris, did you have another question real quick? All right, Sean, I'll go to the next caller and you could just bring them right on if they have a question for our guest. Hello, caller, you're on the line?
Is that me?
Yes, go right ahead, Todd.
Hey, Wanderlyn.
Hi.
Hey, Abby Malone, I have two questions for you. I want to make a comment to something that you said, though, about vocational education. I'm an early middle-aged, but middle-aged man, and I got a friend that I've been friends with since I was 4 years old, and there's something to be said about vocational education for sure. This dude makes $80,000 after expenses for his janitorial service annually, usually. He's going to make $80,000 by this fiscal quarter ending after expenses. Because everybody wants somebody to disinfect their place now. He dropped out of undergrad in his second year, but his education on basic business in high school protected him, and so that he pursued an understanding of running a good business, supplies management, debt management, things such as that. That this has not hurt him at all. So there is something to be said for vocational education for sure. With that, I have two questions, though. Could you elaborate, why do you think there's too much student loan debt considering that college is a voluntary pursuit? So consequently, a student loan is a voluntary pursuit.
Did you have a second question?
Well, I'd like you to address
that.
Would you say that there's too much? I've heard many people say that, but if college is a voluntary pursuit, then
sure,
student loans are a voluntary pursuit. So why would you say that there's too much student loan debt when the agreement, you know, you take in consideration, the agreement's pretty clear on those documents when you sign them for those student loans. I'm not going on one side or the other of the argument. I just want to know where you're at with it. Why?
Well, I think about how voluntary the word voluntary is when you are asking the question. You know, a lot of people look at the job market as they graduate high school, and depending on where you're from and what jobs you're going after, you know that there's no choice. You have to go to some kind of higher education institution, some university or college. And if I think as a society, we place a little bit more emphasis on vocational training, like, for example, your friend, what better service to be in right now than janitorial? It is an incredible need, and we're going to see businesses and offices change immensely and have so much reliance on the cleanliness of where they work to make their employees feel safe so that people can not be fearful of contracting some kind of illness while they're at work. And that is a wonderful place to be. And it's a profession to be proud of. So other, you know, I think it's a more of a mentality than anything else. But also, honestly, like some jobs just need that level of education. I think about the word voluntary, and I wonder, you know, how much an 18-year-old when they're graduating high school is thinking that university has to be a choice and not something they have to do. And then student loan debt. If you're not in a position where your parents saved for you, you know, I don't know many kids in their teens who are working the jobs that they need to save up the money for. How exorbitant student the university fees are nowadays. It's extraordinarily expensive to go to college. And unless your parents save for you, or perhaps you're going to an in-state institution and looking into certain funds and programs that your state offers you to save for college or
Hold on just a second, Abby. I'm going to go to break. And Todd, I'm going to have her to continue to respond to your question. More to come as a Financial Thursday right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.